Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
That God has put on your heart to minister to, and you said, Lord, please not that person. And I'm talking with my hands a bunch, I just realized that. But anyways, it's that's something I've struggled with. And I've used lots of excuses over the years why I can't minister to others, why I can't tell others the good news of the gospel. My first and foremost excuse that I always used is I didn't want to tell them the wrong thing. I didn't want their one shot of them getting told about the gospel and I tell it wrong. And so after accepting the challenge from this church to read through my Bible, that changed my life. Even though I was a Christian, that still was life-changing. Reading God's Word from start to finish and getting the full picture from Genesis to Revelation, that changed my life. And I certainly didn't close the book on Revelation and say, woohoo, now I'm a Bible scholar. You know, that was not the case. But I found a new confidence in the information that I did have to share with people. Well, then I moved to the excuse of I don't want to use my one opportunity to share Christ with somebody and it hurt their feelings. They become offended. Because if they are offended, then they may never come to Christ. I heard somebody a lot smarter than me say one time that if the world hates us because of Christ, that's okay. But if the world hates Christ because of us, then there's a problem. And nobody ever wants somebody to say, because of you, because of the things you say to me, I will never accept your God. I mean, that'd be something we'd take to the grave with us. If somebody said, because of you, I totally reject God. And so that is another, my biggest fear that I ever had. And that is the reason why I tried so hard to convince God when He called me into the ministry that you have the wrong person. I don't do public speaking. I'm not good with even sharing your wonderful news about you and all the things that you've done, even in my life. I have such a hard time telling that to others. And so I was doing my daily reading the other day, and I happened to be going through John, and I came across a verse in John the other day. Well, this has been weeks ago now, but anyways, it totally changed the way I view sharing Christ with others, and we're going to get into that tonight. But at first, before we take a look at that, I want to take a look at a story in the Bible where there's a lot of churches that say love is enough. We can love anybody into accepting Christ. And there is some truth to that. People should certainly see the love of the church. People should certainly be able to see Christ when they come in this place. But is love always enough? If if I only ever loved my children without ever telling them that there are rules and there are consequences for breaking those rules, if I never corrected them and then one day they grow up to be adults and they're in the penitentiary, nobody is ever going to look at me and say, Now that's a good father. He loved those children right into the penitentiary because he never told them any different, that there was any consequences for their actions, that there was any other. Only thing those children knew was how much their father loved them. Nobody would consider me a good father for that. And so, if you will, be turning your Bibles to John chapter 8. That's where we're going to start tonight. I don't remember who it was. I want to say it was Brother Charles. He may or may not remember this, but one of the men in this church told me when I got into ministry that I can prove a point without jumping all over the Bible. To pick a scripture, stick with it, and prove my point. I don't have to jump all over the Bible. And so tonight we're going to break that rule just a little bit. I took that to heart. I honestly did. I don't remember who it was that told me that, but I took that to heart. But we are going to look at two different passages tonight. But we're going to start right here in John chapter 8, verse 1. We're going to read through verse 12. So if you will, stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Starting in verse 1, it says, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn he went to the temple again, and all the people were coming to him. He sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, making her stand in the center. 'Teacher,' they said to him, 'this woman was caught in the act of committing adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?' They asked him to trap him in order so they might have evidence to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and started writing on the ground with his finger. When they persisted in questioning him, he stood up and said to them, 'The one without sin among you, be the first to throw a stone at her.' Then he stooped down again and continued writing on the ground. When they heard this, they left one by one, starting with the older men. Only he was left with the woman in the center. When Jesus stood up, he said to her, 'Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?' 'No one, Lord,' she answered. 'Neither do I condemn you,' said Jesus. 'Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore.'" We're going to stop right there for now. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all your many blessings. Thank you for all the things that you have just given us that we take for granted each and every day. Father, we just ask for your blessing over this service, over these words, Father. Please do not let me stand in the way of someone hearing your words tonight, Father. We just thank you and we praise you. And it's these things we ask and we pray in your holy name. Go ahead and be seated. Now, I've heard the love only crowd use this so many times. And when they get to the end, they say, when Jesus, in verse 10, said, "When Jesus stood up and said to her, 'Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?' 'No one, Lord,' she answered. 'Neither do I condemn you,' said Jesus." And that's where they stop. They end that story with Jesus saying, "Then I don't condemn you either." Now, Jesus certainly had the power to condemn her, didn't he? He certainly has an opportunity here because she was certainly guilty for what she was doing. They said they caught her in the act of adultery. So she didn't deny her guilt. She didn't say, "Please, I didn't do this. You got the wrong person." They had her dead to rights here, and Jesus had the ability to condemn her. One thing I would like to look at is if you look up the act of condemning in a biblical biblical dictionary, it says it's the judicial act of declaring one guilty and dooming him to punishment. So, condemning somebody takes a judge. It is a judicial act. I am no one's judge. I do not ever have the power to condemn somebody. Even though that is one of my worst fears in ministry, of having to share Christ with somebody and they look at me and say, well, don't you condemn me. I know you're not a perfect person either. That'd be tough to come back to. For somebody to accuse you of condemning them. And that has been one of my biggest fears in ministry, is being accused of condemning something. And that's never happened. That's something I've always made up in my mind, that this is going to happen, so I don't. Let's just avoid this altogether. So let's just avoid those situations. But Jesus certainly had the power. You know, if we look back at verse 6, when it says, they asked him to trap him in order so they might have evidence to accuse him. If you read a little bit of history and dig into some Bible commentaries, you find out that they had heard a Jewish law here. But to have murdered her in the street right here would have been against Roman law. So they were actually trying to pit Jesus to either say, I'm going to stand with Rome here, and we're not going to murder her because that's against the law, or I'm going to stand with the Jews here, and we're going to stone her for what she has done. So when they said that, you know, the word says that they tried to trap him, they were trying to make Jesus take a stand once and for all to either be with the Jews or against the Jews. But, you know, as we look further into this and ask the question, why didn't Jesus condemn her? Why? You know, when he had the opportunity. And I was reading through John the other day, and I came across a scripture that really changed the way that I view ministering to people. So let's flip back a few pages to John chapter 3. Now, by a show of hands, who could recite John 3:16? Everybody. That's one of the most well-known verses in the Bible. I'd say you could probably go to most bars on a Friday night and they could quote John 3:16 to you. But 6 months ago, even though I have totally read the Bible, I couldn't have told you what John 17 through anything was. I had no idea what John 3:17 said, even though John 3:16, we've all learned, we've all committed that to memory. But yet there's more to that chapter than just John 3:16. And that's what I want to look at next. Starting in verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world in this way, He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believed in Him would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but save the world through Him." Now, there you go. Jesus didn't come to condemn anybody, did He? He came to love anybody, so that's what we're to do. We're to never... That's the reason why we should take sin out of our Bibles. We need to take blood out of our songs, because Jesus didn't come to condemn anybody. That's what people will tell you in churches all across America today. That Jesus didn't come to condemn anybody. He never condemned anybody. So let's just all talk about the blessings of God and never the punishment of God. But that's not the full picture of the Bible, is it? That's not the easy... Talking about sin and condemnation is not the easy part of sharing Christ with others, is it? Let's continue to read, picking up in verse 18. It says, anyone who believes in Him is not condemned. But anyone who does not believe is already condemned because they do not believe in the name of the one and only Son of God. That verse right there has totally transformed the way I look at sharing Christ with others. I can never condemn anybody to hell. If I never share the gospel with any other person in my life, according to that verse right there, they're still going to be condemned. If I hurt somebody's feelings talking about the gospel, if I run that risk of sharing Christ with others and somebody gets offended, you know what? Their unbelief had already condemned them. Their unbelief is going to continue to condemn them. I can share Christ without the fear of running the risk of hurting somebody's feelings from now on, because I know, according to John 3:18, their unbelief is what's going to condemn them, not because I hurt their feelings. It doesn't matter if I tell 100 people about Christ, their unbelief is what's condemned them. If I try to say, well, you know what? Sharing Christ with other people is hard. You know, that's, I'm just not good at that. I hate that God. I hate that you've made me, you know, I know you've put that on my heart. I know you want me to talk to whoever at work or you know, my brother, my sister, whoever it is. And then you don't, they're still condemned. If they never hear and come to the faith, to the saving faith of Jesus Christ, they are going to be condemned. There is nothing that I can do to save anybody, and there is nothing I can do to condemn anybody. My sister used to sing a song in church called Thank You by Ray Bolts. Beautiful song. If you don't tear up when you hear that song, then you just ain't got no tears to tear up. But it's a song about a man, if you've never heard it. It's a song about a man. He says that he dreamed he went to heaven. And he was there with his friend. And all these people throughout the song come up to his friend and tell him about how he touched their lives and how they became to be in heaven because this man had touched their lives and they somehow found God through this man. And it's a beautiful song. But that's not biblical that we find where Jesus says, hey, if you will share Christ with me, I will make sure one day you know every life you've ever touched. I will make sure you know every sacrifice you made for me. I'm going to make sure you get the glory by getting to see it. That's not in our Bibles. If I talk and share about Christ today with somebody, I may never... The Bible certainly talks about people who plant, people who reap. I may never get to see the people where I have planted seeds. And you know what? God doesn't owe that to me. Only thing, I owe Him everything. He doesn't owe anything to me to make sure that I get some type of glory out of sharing the good news of the gospel with others. But the thought of that, even if we knew that was biblical truth, that we were going to get to stand in line and Eddie was going to sing a song and after the first verse we were going to get to get up and shake hands with everybody in heaven and everybody was going to tell us, whew, I'm so glad you shared Christ with me. I am here today because of you. If we knew that that was biblical truth, would that be enough motivation to talk to people? I don't think it is. I don't think that there is enough motivation to get over the fear that I have felt in the past and the excuses I've made, the reason why I couldn't share others with Christ. I was watching a lecture for school one night, and my theology professor made a statement as we were going over Revelations. And he said that he was, you know, a young boy, and they went to church one night, and the pastor, it was like a revival, and the pastor gave this barn-burning service on Revelations. And he said, I came home, and I was scared to death. I was scared to death of all the things that was going to happen, all the people that were going to go to hell. He said, I was scared to death, and I went home, and I asked my mother what we were going to do about this. You know, and she said, he said, I'll never forget it, but she made the statement, we don't believe that. And he said, what do you mean we don't believe that? She said, "If we don't believe it, because if we did, we would be different. We would share others exactly what you are so afraid of right now. If we really believed that was going to happen, we'd be telling everybody we know. So evidently, we don't believe it." And he said that, you know, it took him forever to figure out the gravity of what his mother had told him that night and realized that she obviously believed it. She knew it was true, but she was making the greater point to how evidently we didn't believe it or we would be different. But, you know, if we had the motivation of knowing that all the lives we have touched that we were going to get to meet in heaven, I still don't think that would be motivation enough. But this isn't biblical either. But would it be motivation enough for us to tell everybody about Christ, knowing the moment we died and we were going to walk into the gates of heaven, what if first we had to walk through the gates of hell? And everybody that we had ever come in contact with was locked up behind bars. Whew. And they were reaching and pulling and saying, why didn't you tell me? How did you know I was going to end up here? And you worked with me for 30 years and never told me I was going to end up here. Why? You know, and what are we going to look at them and say? I didn't want to hurt your feelings. That's going to be a heck of an excuse if we had to answer to the people that we allowed to go to hell because of their unbelief, because we never told them there was another option, because we never told them that there is a real God to believe in. And I want to challenge you from this day forward to put aside all of your fears, all of the excuses that we have each day. You know, I've got to work with this person. What if it's weird after that? You know, what if I can't go to family functions? What if this person just tells me to take a long walk off a short bridge if I tell them about Christ? What about how awkward it's going to be? Put all of that aside. Put all of that to rest. Because you know what? If you never say a word to them, their unbelief has still condemned them to hell. Whether we hurt their feelings, there are some people that we are going to be able to love to Christ. There are some people that will look at you one day and say, there is something different about you than the rest of these people. What is it? And you're going to say, hey, the only thing that's good in me that you can see is the Holy Spirit. I'm a terrible, wretched person. And the protective power of the Holy Spirit is the only thing good in me that you see. And they're going to say, well, geez, I want part of this. And you're going to be able to share the plan of salvation for them. And it will be that easy. But there are going to be some people over the course of our life that we are going to have to point out, hey, the evidence of your life shows that you are not a believer in Christ. And those times are going to be so hard. But you know what? They are still condemned whether we ever tell them that they are or not. So please, please, from this moment forward, make up your minds that we're going to put all of our excuses to rest and look at this verses tonight and realize whether we ever tell somebody about Christ, they are condemned just the same. Let's close in a word of prayer. We'll have a time of invitation.
Father, thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.